good to be here with you all once again as we come together to learn more about God's will. As I was preparing for this lesson, I was also on the internet chatting with some friends on Facebook as I was preparing for this, and one of my friends, I told her that I was studying for a sermon while I was talking to her, and she said, "Sermon?" And she was Mormon, and she had never heard exactly the word sermon before, and so she was confused as to what I was doing. But she's a good friend of mine, and I hope that someday she can be able to become a Christian. But that's what we're going to be talking about today, friends. Friends of ours that we may have. There's many people that are a part of our lives that might not should be. Probably shouldn't be in our lives, that have an adverse effect on our lives. Friends are very powerful within our lives. They can be able to change our lives from a moral life to a terrible life, or from a terrible life to a moral life. They have such a powerful impact on us, to a degree that we probably don't even realize. Let's look over in 1 Corinthians 15:33. We're going to be looking in this lesson on the adverse effects of our friends. So the title of this lesson will be Choosing Our Friends Wisely. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, a very well-known verse to everyone. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. We must learn. We must choose our friends very wisely. Because if we put our company with them, they can change our good morals. The example that we're going to be looking at, if you'd like to put your marker there in Genesis 13, we'll be starting with. Genesis 13, we're going to be looking at the example of Lot and the friends that he chose within his life. Genesis 13 is where we're going to be starting. But for a little bit of context, we will be reading this, but for a little bit of context, Abram at this time and Lot, Abram's nephew, decided that they would separate from each other so that their herdsmen would not have dissension between them because of how much Abram loved Lot. But Lot made a very poor decision in where he would go and how he would choose his friends and his friendship that would hurt him for the rest of his life. So as we go through this study, we're going to see principles from the story of Lot of what we need to look out for as we are choosing our friends. The first thing we need to look out for in Genesis 13, we'll be reading 1 through 12. Genesis 13, 1 through 12. The principle here is we need to watch where we spend our time. And this is the context that we were just speaking of. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife, and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. He went on his journeys from the Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, and lands, and the land could not sustain them while dwelling together. For their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling then in the land. Verse 8, so Abram said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, and if to the right, then I to the left." Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan that was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. The principle, watch where you spend your time. Down, farther down in chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, they also took Lot, Abram's nephew, and his possessions and departed, for he, being Lot, was living in Sodom. So we see a change from that Lot just was dwelling in tents near Sodom in verse 12 of 13. We see that he was just tenting his way along. He was just passing through. To in chapter 14, it says that he was living in Sodom. He made a choice to make his dwelling place in Sodom. Lot chose to dwell in the land that looked better rather than surround himself with those that were going to make him better in the long run. He decided that he was going to put his dwelling place in a place of wickedness. Where we spend our time is so vital to who our friends are. It's just an obvious thing. If we spend our time with people of the church, in our fellowship with each other, who's going to be our friends? The people of the church. If we spend our time with the people that we work with, who's going to be our friends? The people that we work with. If we spend our time in the bars, who's going to be our friends? It's going to be the people that spend their time as well in the bars. So depending on where we spend our time, that's also going to decide who our friends are. And we choose where we go. It's not something that it's like, oh, well, I can't help it. I have to go to this place. I can't help where I work. You can help where you go. You can decide if you're going to spend your time in this one place or this other place. Because that's going to affect if you have bad company or good company. You can choose whenever you're making a move to a different place. You can choose the neighborhood that you live in. If you're living in St. Louis, you're not probably going to live on the east side of town because that's where most of your bad company is. So you're probably going to try to live on the outskirts of town of St. Louis because that's where most of the better people are. You're going to decide where you spend your time, to decide also who your friends are. If we put ourselves in places where God is not honored, we should pull ourselves from that place. I must tell you that I fall short of this sometimes. If I'm at school and I'm at the lunch cafeteria, it's hard to not find a table where there isn't swearing at the table. You can barely find a table that doesn't have swearing there, except the table that's empty. And sometimes I fall short, not pulling myself from those places. And one time when I did, it had more an effect on them than me staying there and listening to them. It had more an effect on them. They thought I was mad, but really it has more an effect on your friends if you pull yourselves from the places that are bad influences on you. If you'd like to keep your marker in Genesis, we'll be turning back here, but if you'd like to turn over to Colossians 4 and verse 5. Colossians 4 and verse 5. Going the wrong way. Colossians 4. And it reads, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity, or as it is literally translated, redeeming the times. We need to conduct ourselves around people who are not in the faith, people that have decided that their life is going to be outside of God. We need to conduct ourselves wisely around those people. Redeeming the time, making the most of every single opportunity. Because if we don't use our time wisely, if we don't spend our time wisely, if we don't redeem the times, it's going to choose who our friends are. And that's going to have an effect on us. And so that effect is what we're going to be talking about next. In Genesis 19. Genesis 19. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 8. Genesis 19, 1 through 8. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he arose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said, "Now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." They said, however, "No, but we shall spend the night in the square." Yet he urged them strongly. So they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may have relations with them." But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not had relations with man. Please, let me bring them out to you and do to them whatever you like. Only do nothing to these men, inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof." So you may be wondering, well, what's the big deal here? What's the problem here? The principle we're going to be seeing is watch your actions. Watch your actions. Now, here you may be thinking that he did a good thing. He tried to make it so that the people that came under his roof, the angels that came under his roof, he made hospitality for them so that he would invite them in and eat with them and wash their feet and do all these humble and hospitable things for them. So he decided that it would be better to send out his daughters to the wicked men of Sodom. That's the evil that we see. He decided that he would send his daughters to be sacrificed toward these men. These men would probably abuse, rape, have so many relations with them, and probably even kill them that night, had it not been for the angel saving their lives. They probably would have been hurt in such a way that Lot couldn't be able to take it back. Lot made this decision that he would send his daughters out into the evil of the city of Sodom. Where did Lot learn this? Where did Lot learn that it would be a better idea to send out his daughters instead of trying to fight for both of his daughters and the angels? Saying, don't have relations with either of these. Where did he think that this was a better idea? He learned that this was a better idea from the influence his friends had upon him, because he decided that he would spend his time in Sodom. Friends can influence the decisions that we make and affect our decisions when we don't even realize it. I am glad to tell you that I've never said a cuss word in my life other than asking my mom once what one of the words meant. I've never cussed in my life. I'm glad of that. But I tell you, one of my flaws is euphemisms. I have such a problem with euphemisms whenever I'm around my friends. And why? Is it because I learned it from my parents? No. Is it because I learned it from the people of the church? No. It's because I learned it spending my time with who I spent my time with. I learned it from the people that do swear. And I learned it because I was trying to make it better. And I'm going to try to be able to fix that more in the future. But we need to see when our friends are having an effect on us. We must be able to see when our friends are hurting our lives, and not only our lives, but our very soul. Because is it more important to be able to have the best of friends than to be able to spend the best of times together? Or is it better to be able to spend an eternity with those who chose the right friends? With those who decided that they would spend their time with the people of the Lord? What's the better thing? We shouldn't try to, sugarcoat it. We shouldn't try to sugarcoat it and make it seem that our friends are better than what they actually are. Because people are going to be able to see from our actions who our friends are. They're going to be able to see from our actions how we spend our time. We talked about a lesson earlier about our influence upon others and how we should be a good influence on others and try to help others to be able to get to heaven. But this is just the reverse of it. Our friends can be bad influences upon us. Just as we can be a good influence on them, it flips just the other way. The tables can turn, and we can be deceived. As we just read in our key verse, do not be deceived in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company corrupts good morals. And that's a fact. That's a fact that if we spend our time with those that are bad, we're going to corrupt our good morals and we are going to become bad. Lot was deceived. He was deceived into thinking that since the fields of Jordan were so much better, that obviously the people would be okay. I can deal with that. He was deceived into thinking that he was better than what he actually was. Because he sent his own daughters out to the wickedness of Sodom. We must not let ourselves fall into that same trap. We must not be deceived because bad company corrupts good morals. We need to watch our actions. Going on down through chapter 19, we're going to be looking at 17 through 26 for the next principle. 17 through 26 of chapter 19. When they had brought them outside, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords. Now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, for the disaster will overtake me, and I will die. Now behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and is it not small? And it is small. Please, let me escape there. Is it not small? That my life may be saved." He said to him, "Behold, I grant you this request also, not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the town was called Zoar. The sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And she overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But his wife from behind him looked back and she became a pillar of salt. These angels had told them, "You do not look back. And what did Lot's wife do? She looked back. And she was punished for that. She was turned into a pillar of salt. Because she wasn't focused. That's the principle we're looking at now. Watch your focus. Lot's wife did not put her focus on what God wanted her to do. She didn't put her focus on that she was supposed to keep straight ahead toward the mountains, is what they said. But Lot even changed that. He changed his focus to somewhere else. They didn't keep their focus on what God told them to do. And how did that affect them? How did that affect Lot's wife? She turned around from what God told her to do. And she was focused on her friends and not God. She was remembering those people that were behind her and not focused on what was in front of her. Why did she turn around and forsake God? Why did she decide that her focus was in the right place? Friends, did this affect on her? Friends can become more important to us than God and His will. That we turn from His path, the path that He has set forth for us, as we read so many times, the straight and narrow path which leads to heaven. He set that path for us, as He set it for Lot's wife. She was going down that path, but then she turned around to the flaming fires of Sodom. We have to keep our focus on that path. Because if we turn around to where our friends are, to where that bad company is that corrupts good morals, if we turn around toward that, we're not turning around to our friends. We're turning around toward Satan. We're turning around toward the fires that he lives in. We're turning around from the one that we can spend an unclouded day with, as our congregation sang this morning, an unclouded day we're turning from. We have to put our full focus on God. I'll give you a little bit of an example here. And whenever we're on a road trip, and if we're going through Kansas City, there's this little intersection that it goes this way and that way, and there's an overpass over top of that, and then 200 yards past the split, you go this way to get into Kansas City and this way to get into Wichita, and then back a little ways, you go down to St. Joe and then back to Kansas City, and then if you want to turn back to Blue Springs. You got to be pretty focused to go through that little, like sevenfold fork in the road. You got to be pretty focused. And I've learned that you shouldn't talk whenever you're going through that. Otherwise, you're probably going to get a scolding from dad or mom who's driving, and they're going to turn around and they're going to say, "Shh, just a minute while I'm going through this." And you got to keep your focus while you're driving. Another example, my sister was driving one time as we were coming home from St. James. And we were driving back home from Jefferson City, and there's this area where there's a horse barn off to your right-hand side. And we were just talking, having a good time. It was me, my sister, Grady Huggins, and Aaron Reinhardt riding down the road. You've met Aaron before. And we're riding down the road, and a car stops right in front of us, trying to make a turn, but we couldn't see it. And so Ashley slams on the brakes, and she turns to this horse barn to the right as fast as she can, and there's dust everywhere. We can't see a thing, and it's just a bad deal. But Ashley kept her focus. I make a joke with her now. I say, Every time we pass that horse barn, I call her and say, thanks, Ash, for life. But but you got to keep your focus. Because if you don't keep your focus on the road, what's going to happen? You're going to get in an accident, and you could be seriously injured or even killed. In this same way, she had to, Lot's wife, had to keep her focus completely on God. She had to do everything that God told her to do. And he only asked one thing of her, because he changed one thing so that Lot could go to Zoar. He only asked one thing of her. Keep your eyes straight. That's all he asked of her. But the influence of her friends changed her mind. The influence of her friends made her want to turn around and look towards Sodom. And it killed her. It destroyed not only her life, but it destroyed her soul. Because she didn't follow what God wanted her to do. Let's turn over to Luke 14. Luke 14 and verse 26. Luke 14 and verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Lot's wife loved people more than she loved God. I use this verse because it says, if you don't hate those people. Now that's not to say that we hate them as in we want to have harm come to them. But that means that we have Christ on such a pedestal that we love him so much that it's like we hate those people. It's like we don't even care for those people and we don't even want to worry about those people because we love Christ so much. Now we do love those people. But if we love them so much that our focus isn't on him, then we're in the wrong. We're in the wrong just as Lot's wife was in the wrong. And she was focused toward the people that she loved and not toward God who she should have loved. And for our last principle, in Genesis 19. Genesis 19, and we'll be reading 30 through the end of the chapter. Genesis 19, 30 through the end of the chapter. Lot went up from Zoar and stayed in the mountains. Now he's going back to the mountains like he should have in the first place. And his two daughters with him. For he was afraid to stay in Zoar. And he stayed in a cave, he and his two daughters. Then the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and let us lie with him, that we may preserve our family through our father. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. On the following day, the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve our family through our father. So they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. As for the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the sons of Ammon to this day. For our last principle, we need to watch those that are closest to us. We need to watch those that are closest to us. Lot's children acted in a way that was displeasing to God, and also that dishonored their father. They thought that they were honoring their father's name by making his name great, by having children with him to be able to make a great people out of him and his family. But what they did is they dishonored him. They, as the title of that passage of scripture in my Bible says, Lot debased. They debased Lot. But more importantly, they forsook what God wanted them to do. They forsook God and his teaching. Where did they learn that this act was the okay thing to do? How could they have done something so indecent? Well, you look back at who the people that they were just spending time with, who the people that they were spending time with that Lot called brothers. And then you can see the answer. We see it so many times today. Friends can put an effect on those that we are closest to along with ourselves. They can put an effect on those that we're closest to and cause them to fall after the devil as well. Not only our family, but also our physical family, but also the family of God. People can stumble because of our friends and who we decide to spend our time with. We must guard not only ourselves, but also those that we hold dear. We see it so many times today in the world that we live in. Christians inviting friends to come watch the football game while they're watching the kids play some games with themselves. And so then you see all these different activities that you're committing to with your friends. And those children of yours are seeing not only the actions of them, but also your actions. Because you're not disagreeing with what they're doing. You're not standing up for what is right. If they're swearing up a storm, and you don't stop it, and you say, please just stop cursing or leave my house. If you don't pull yourselves from that, your children are going to think that it's okay. And if you have people from church services over there with you, they're either going to think that you're in the wrong and that you need to repent, or they're going to agree with you, depending on their area of strength. We need to guard those that we hold most dear. Because it can not only kill our soul, but it can kill their soul as well. Over in Mark 9. This will be the last verse that we turn to. Mark 9, verse 42. Jesus states here, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him with a heavy millstone hung around his neck, he had been cast into the sea. If we cause by our actions and by the actions of our friends to make either our children, our family, or the family of God to stumble, it's better for us not to even be alive. It's better for us for a millstone. Not only a millstone, but a heavy millstone to be hung around our neck and thrown into the sea. Lot's children did not follow God because of Lot's folly. Because where Lot decided that he would spend his time. And where Lot decided he was going to make his home. Because of that fault, that's why his children failed. That's why his children did to him exactly what he was doing to them however many years that they've been in Sodom, disgracing each other's name. But most importantly,
disgracing God's name.
So as we conclude, what are the principles that we need to see as we're choosing our friends? We must watch where our time is spent so that we know that who we decide to choose as friends are godly people. Secondly, we must watch our actions so that all that we do is in the name of the Lord and not in the name of our friends. We must watch our focus so that as we walk the path of God that He has chosen for us, we can see the reward and not follow after our friends. And we must watch those that we are so close to, the closest to us, our family, and keep them in the light of God by who our friends are. Brethren, we must choose our friends very wisely so we're not deceived by what we're doing. We don't hear too much more about Lot after these passages. We hear about how the Israelites still considered the Moabites and the Ammonites their brothers and how they couldn't fight with them and kill them because they were still brethren. And we read in 2 Peter 2, if you want to read that later on, we read that an adjective of his was that he was a righteous man. He made mistakes by choosing who his friends were. He made mistakes in where he decided to spend his time, but he was still considered by God a righteous man. No matter who your friends are, you can pull from them. All it takes is just walk away. We hear that whenever we're in school. You hear that all the time. Just walk away. It's the same with friends, not just drugs. We can walk away and be considered righteous. It also says in 2 Peter 2 that he was continuously tortured, I'm paraphrasing, but continuously tortured by these wicked men. But he still chose to be there. We got to pull ourselves from them, brother. We can be righteous as well. All it takes is that we do his will. If there is a need that you need to come forward because you've hurt the family of God by the friends that you've chosen, we ask you to come forward at this time. But if you've not decided to make Jesus Lord of your life and decide to become a Christian by being baptized into his blood, we ask you to come forward as well. Whatever your need may be, do it wisely as we stand and as we sing.